The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
If you hear someone saying you've had a challenging week, how do you interpret it? Usually when someone says I've had a challenging week, you interpret that as I've had a very hard week or it's been a bad week. But are all challenges bad? I mean, how often have you had someone say to you, are you up for the challenge? Or, come on, let's take on a good challenge. For some, it might be in social isolation, a game of chess. Now that can be a challenge, especially for those of us who aren't very good at it. So, over the last weeks, as you've been living in social isolation, practicing social distancing and all of that, did you find the challenge of that good, bad, or indifferent? Personally, I found it a challenge. I know that some of you are now thinking, does that mean Andrew had a good time, a bad time, or an indifferent time? I reckon it depended on what was going on at that point in time. Times it was good, times it wasn't so good, times it was indifferent. If you want the truth, maybe ask Kylie. But I've said previously that when we all had to start working from home, I looked at my bookshelf here in the church office and I chose about a dozen books that I thought would be really good to take away and read. I thought I'd have lots of time to read them. And I discovered that life got really busy and last time I said about this, I was only halfway through my first book. Well, a bit of a progress report, I'm halfway through the second book. So I'm making progress. Life has been busy, but in different sort of ways. And it's taken me quite a while to get used to these different routines, these different ways of doing things, being at home so much more. Some of the things I realised was that I wasn't exercising as much, because I was going into my office at the start of the day and I would emerge hours later, often after many Zoom calls, and I wasn't getting out and about and doing things. I discovered that I wasn't listening to podcasts because I listen to them as I drive. And when I wasn't driving in to the office or out or around town, I was missing out on the input of others. And so I'm still in this process of recalibrating, still trying to discover what rhythms look like and what works, how to vary my work methods. Now, in the midst of all this, I found some really big positives. For instance, I found out that I didn't have to go out at night. And so I was really enjoying being home so much more in the evenings. You see, I found that the rhythm of life has changed so much. And so I've learned actually some things about myself in the midst of this time. So what about you? How have you risen to the challenge of social isolation and social distancing? And what have you learned about yourself? To give some prompts around that, for those of you who've had children who are doing school from home, what did you discover about yourself in the midst of that? What did you discover about your children? What did you discover about your passions for everyone? For all of you, what did you discover about the things that you love in life or the things you hate? You see, now that children are going back to school and shops are starting to open up, bigger groups are allowed to meet together, sporting and community clubs are starting to talk about opening up again and sport beginning once again, community activities starting to happen once again, how do you feel about coming out of ISO? Are you pleased that these opportunities are going to be available again? Are you pleased that normal might start again? Whatever the new normal will actually look like, it'll probably be different to what your old normal actually was. There are some of you who have secretly told me that you've loved this time. of just being able to be at home and do your own thing without interruption, without having to go out. How do you feel about coming out of ISO? Or not having to spend hours every week driving to get places? Particularly for those with children who you're driving them to sport, you're driving them to school, you might be driving them to music lessons, to a whole range of different activities. Those of you who are studying, you're not having to drive into uni. Those of you who've been working from home, you're not driving in and out to the office or the work site. See, things have changed. So if we think about this succinctly, I just want to ask you two questions. What have you enjoyed doing during isolation? In the midst of this challenge, what are the things that you've actually enjoyed about it? The second question is, what have you enjoyed not doing during isolation? The things that you haven't had to do and you've gone, oh, I'm not missing that. While you think about that, I want to set up a bit of a parable, a bit of an example of what this might actually look like. As you reflect on priorities, I want you to imagine that this is your time. It's the time you have to do things. It's the time for you to be who you naturally are. And in the midst of this time, there are some big priorities in your life. And so we're going to represent these. And so you've got a few sort of pretty big priorities that you want to put, you feel that you're meant to have in your life. And you can fill up your time pretty quickly with these priorities. For a parent at home, that priority might be caring for your children, looking after the home. For someone who is working, your priority, a big one, might be your work. It might be your study, if you're a student. A priority might be the spiritual activities that you're involved in, whether that's scripture reading and prayer, these things that keep your spiritual life active and growing. These are important priorities, and we need to make room for these in the time of our life because they are so foundational to who we are. But as we look at that, we notice that there's still time. There's still space. And so why don't we put in some more rocks? We'll have to go smaller rocks this time. And so we're going to sort of put some smaller rocks in there. Might have to move things around a bit. But we discover that you can actually fit in. If we shake it round a bit, we can actually get some of these smaller rocks down in the midst of this. These priorities might be things like spending time with friends. It might be being part of a life group, which is an expression of both community and spiritual activities. It might be exercise that helps you physically stay fit and healthy. It might be reading or doing crosswords or other things that keeps your mind active and engaged. And these have got to fit in around the big priorities in your life, the things that fill your time. But there's still space. There's still space in here. So why don't we find something else to put in there? I've brought some sand in. And I reckon that we can probably fit some sand in here just to fill this bottle up a bit more. It's filling up quite nicely, isn't it? Here we are. We've sort of got a pretty full bottle here now. And so... these are the things like when someone says to you, hey, have you got another 5 minutes to do something? Or someone says at work, can you take on an extra job? And you think, oh, it's not very big. I can fit that in around everything else I'm already doing. Or you think, yeah, I've got another 5 minutes to grab a coffee. Why don't I use this 5 minutes to scroll my social media? Just scroll down a bit, check, yeah, Instagram, yeah, okay. Maybe 10 minutes. Maybe you sit there and think, I've just had this email come in. It'll only take me 10 minutes to deal with before I head home. And what do you find? You finish up staying at work a whole lot longer than you intended, because you're fitting it in around everything else. So what do you notice? It's very full. And what you're doing is you're taking the margin out of your life. You're filling it up. So the spare time you had is now sort of being taken away. But you know, there are those of us that just have this challenge. Because this wasn't quite full enough, was it? And so suddenly we find that we've have got another few minutes here and there. And we fill up every waking minute of our lives with things to do. Places to go, people to talk to, someone to take somewhere because our kids or our grandkids. Well, we should give them every opportunity possible in life, shouldn't we? Should we? Social researchers have found that even people in a lift for 1 minute do not stand there and just enjoy the ride. They pull out their phone and check their emails or check their social media. If they're waiting for someone for 2 minutes, they no longer just sit and think or reflect. They pull out their phone and get busy. There's a guy called Randy Stonehill. He wrote a song called Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. What happens when the world stops? You see, for a lot of people over the last couple of months, their world has stopped. It's changed. Did you get off? Did you want to get off? And when the world starts spinning a bit faster again, how do you want to get back on? As it goes around and around and around, what's it look like? And so as you think about these questions, what have you enjoyed doing during isolation? Or what have you enjoyed not doing during isolation? What is it that God has been challenging you about? Because you see, maybe God's been saying to you, I want you to reflect on your priorities. And maybe there's a priority that you're being challenged to put into place. The problem is that this is so full, we can't actually fit another priority in here. There's a problem. There's no room. And so as we reflect on this, we have to start to think about what is it? You see, social isolation in the last weeks may have actually given you an incredible opportunity. An incredible opportunity that as you discover that your world has changed pace, that you've been going super fast and suddenly the world stopped. And for weeks, it's been slow. But what's happening? It's starting to speed up as restrictions lift. As we're coming out of ISO, it's actually a good time to reevaluate the priorities that you have in your world. It's a good time to ask God if the priorities that you have in your life are the ones that you want in your life. Are they the ones that God wants in your life? Or have you felt that they're the ones that just the world around you has put pressure on you to conform, to perform, and therefore to have in your world? And so as this world starts to speed up and children are back at school and shops are opening and bigger groups are allowed to meet and sports and community clubs are talking about starting fixtures and activities, how are you going to respond? What big rocks have fallen out of your world over these last weeks? And does that mean you've got some room to consider a new priority that may need to fit in? Now, some of you may have found that the pace of your life hasn't actually changed that much. It might have even sped up a little bit. One of my own discoveries was that I found myself as busy as ever, if not busier, but I realised something. As I thought about this, when I was working from home, I was saving at least an hour a day in the car. Because, you see, normally I would drive from home into the office and then I'd drive around town to various things and I'd drive home again. That's about an hour a day that I wasn't driving. How was I feeling that time? Or these nights out that I wasn't having. How was I using that time? I've had to stop and think about this use of time. And so can I encourage you to do a time audit? To ask yourself, where have you saved time? Where have you lost time? And as you do that bit of a time audit and you think about where you've lost time, where you've saved time, ask yourself what you will do with that time. Maybe what you've done with it over the last weeks. But what are you going to do with it? But I don't want to make this just about time. It's actually also about other things that add to your life and drain from it. So emotional energy. Where have you saved emotional energy? Where have you lost emotional energy? Where do you want to put that emotional energy now? These are really important questions for us to reflect on. And so last week, we shared in the celebration of Pentecost. It's a time where Jesus had talked about planting a harvest of disciples, and he equipped his disciples with the power of the Holy Spirit who came and fell upon them. And suddenly there was about 120 followers of Jesus who were filled with the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, about 3,000 people put their faith in Jesus Christ and became new disciples. It was the most amazing time. And on the day of Pentecost, the church was born. The people of God received the Holy Spirit. Many people put their faith in Jesus Christ. Scriptures say that they said sorry for the wrong things that they'd done in their lives. They publicly confessed that. They called it the confession of their sins. And as they put their faith in Jesus, they received the Holy Spirit. These people had come into Jerusalem to participate in a festival, a feast. And suddenly everything changed. The world that they had known stopped. For the lives of the 120 people who had been following Jesus over these last few years, they had undergone an unprecedented change. You are sick of hearing the word unprecedented. But this, I think, is used in the right context. That's why I used it. It was unprecedented. Just consider this, that Jesus had died and his followers were just shattered. And then Jesus had risen from the dead and his followers were just stunned. They stood there in that upper room as he came in and they were just stunned. And then over the next 40 days, he continued to appear. Scripture says he appeared to over 500 witnesses in that 40 days, and his followers were just overjoyed. And then at the end of that 40 days, Jesus ascended from earth up to heaven to be with his Father. And his followers were expectant. They are expectant because Jesus had said that he would send them the Holy Spirit and they would be empowered. This is what he'd said. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about." What did they have to do? Wait. They had to wait. They didn't know how long. They didn't know what that would look like. They didn't know if life was going to go back to normal as it had been before this whole thing of Jesus dying and resurrecting and all of that. They just had to wait. We're not very good at that. Even when we got 1 or 2 minutes, what do? We fill it. We pull out our phone. We check the news. We check the social media. We're just not good at waiting anymore. And some people don't like to wait and ponder about the future, because if the future's uncertain, if it's unknown, then people who like to be able to control and plan and organise and schedule and hyper-schedule and calendarise, they find that really hard. Waiting can be a challenge, particularly when we don't have margins. But these disciples waited. That's what Jesus had told them to do. And then at the day, the Feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit had come. And life was going to be different. You see, the priorities I've had in the past have now all fallen out. And it's time for them to put new priorities in place. So what were these new priorities? The very next verse from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. These were four new spiritual priorities that the Holy Spirit-filled followers of Jesus Christ were putting into their lives. And what happened is that as they put them into their lives, their world changed in an unprecedented way. Because from the time of Jesus' ascension to him sending the Holy Spirit, they had just waited. And now they were learning new priorities. For us who've had our daily life rhythms disrupted, for where the world's pace has been changing, now, before it speeds up again, we have an opportunity. We actually have an opportunity to take time to stop, to wait, to ask God, are there any changes that I need to make to priorities in my life? Are there priorities I need to take out? Are there new ones that I need to put in while there is this opportunity to make change? For the followers of Jesus Christ, they had these four spiritual priorities, the apostles' teaching, that of fellowship, breaking bread and prayer. And they devoted themselves to it. They chose to put these in as priorities in their lives, and it changed their lives and it changed their city. Because you see, when we get to verse 46 and 47, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we look at this. First of all, they had glad and sincere hearts. This wasn't fake happiness. This was joy. This was sincere joy. They genuinely enjoyed meeting together. They met together in the temple courts. They met together in homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, filled with joy because their lives had changed. It was different. They had different priorities, different focus. The Holy Spirit was living, dwelling within them. And it changed their lives in such a way that they enjoyed the favor of all the people. What's that tell us? It tells us that their family members noticed, hey, you're different. It means their work colleagues went, what happened to you? It means that their neighbourhood saw that there was a change in that cranky old man down the street. Things were happening in the town, in the city, because lives of people were being changed because they had the right priorities in their life. But not only that, not only did they enjoy the favour of all the people, but the Lord was ministering through these disciples. These people had seen that their neighbour had changed because he'd put his faith in this Jesus Christ. That was attractive. There was something wonderful about that. And people were asking questions, and these people were sharing what had happened in their lives. And as a result of that, the Lord was adding to the number daily those who were being saved. If these four spiritual priorities that the early followers of Jesus had devoted themselves to had such a profound influence on their lives and in the lives of those around about them, then surely in this time we should also ask if these same things are priorities in our lives. You see, last week On the day of Pentecost, as we talked about that, we saw that 3,000 people chose to put their faith in Jesus Christ. But today's passage shows us that in turn, those 3,000 who dispersed to many other places and those that remained in Jerusalem were so profoundly affected by the new priorities in their life and by the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within them and their faith in Jesus Christ that it won many more people into relationship with Jesus. The good news is we don't do it alone. You see, it was the leading of the Holy Spirit that empowered them to reset their priorities. It wasn't a case of one day they sat down and read a book or they heard a message and went, hey, that's what I should do. It was the Holy Spirit living within them, empowering them, guiding them, that caused them to look at their priorities and adjust them. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to continue to look at priorities as they flow in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit can lead us, can empower us and guide us in the priorities of our lives and on where these four spiritual priorities can sit. But before we do that, we actually have to stop and see, have we got room? Is there room in our lives? And in this season of coming out of ISO, and priorities might be changing, we need to ask this question. What have you enjoyed doing during ISO? What have you enjoyed not doing? And that time audit. How are you prioritising your time and emotional energy now compared to what it was 3 months ago or a year ago? And what do you feel that the Holy Spirit is saying to you about priorities right now? One of the things that was really spoke to me as I was reflecting on last week's sermon and preparing for last week's sermon was the questions that those who were listening to Peter share had in their minds. And the first was that they'd seen that all these people who had been filled with the Holy Spirit were proclaiming the wonders of God, and they asked the question in Acts chapter 2 verse 12, what does it mean? And then once Peter had explained what it meant, then they asked the question in verse 37, what shall we do? And I'd encourage you, as we continue to look at Acts chapter 2, that you ask yourself these same two questions. When you think about priorities, as Geordie and Emily described them to us earlier, as we engaged in worship and placed our first priority on God Almighty, as we listen to this message, as we reflect about the jar that represents the time in your life, what does it mean? What are your priorities? And is the Holy Spirit challenging you about your priorities? Is there some that have to come out to make room for new ones? Because there's only so many you can fit in your life and do well. And ask, what shall we do? Typically, we've asked these same two questions a different way over many months now. We've asked, what did God say to me today? What will I do with what I've heard? I invite you now to stop. We're going to take a minute and wait. I invite you just to talk with God.
Concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.